So parents are telling us that they're finding they can no longer send their children to Irish dancing classes because of the dresses and all the extras becoming too expensive in their view. They also complain that children are placed under too much pressure to look glamorous at an age where they have no idea what the word means. So watching the coverage to emerge from the championships has made us ask the question, has it all gone a little bit too far? Well, joining me now on the line, I have an ex-member of the Irish Dancing Commission, Cora Somerville. Cora, thank you very much for taking our call.
You're welcome. I'm delighted to be here.
Cora, what is the situation with regards to this? I mean, do you think it has gone a bit too far? Because it's all about wigs now and the gunas and all this sort of stuff. Is it a bit too over-elaborate, a bit too much pressure?
Well, I feel it is for the young children that are involved in it, that there is an awful lot of pressure. But, you know, also hidden behind all this glamour, you must remember that, you know, these children are primed athletes. You know, the intensive training that's going into it concerns me a little bit more, actually, than the glamour aspect of it, because, you know, the competition has driven, you know, dance to a sport. You know, when I was dancing, it was a dance and there wasn't as much time involved in giving to dance. But now that it's a sport, you know, you have children, you know, going to classes three times a week. You know, their weekends are at dance competitions. And then they, on top of this, have major championships. And it's a lot of pressure, but it's also a lot of, this intensive training is a lot of pressure on a developing body. Mm. You know, there's no rest time giving, to, you know, for these children. It's a constant roller coaster, I would call it. I've stepped off the roller coaster, but like when you're in it, I can understand it becomes an all-consuming world. You know, that you're going from qualifying for the Worlds, you're dancing at the Worlds, and then you're actually preparing for the next World Championships. And, you know, you start this at a very young age. You know, they're entering into dancing at 5 and 6 years of age. And if you're talented, you know, there's no restrictions on what you do. You know, that child just, you keep pushing, you keep getting better, you know, and you just keep going on with it, you know, regardless.
Just, yeah,
of age or you know, any structure in that respect.
With regard to the intensity of it, three classes a week or three training sessions basically is what you're asking, is what you're talking about there. Well, we just talk about the level of burnout amongst even adolescent kids when it comes to sport and the amount of training and extra time they do.
Yeah.
But these are very young kids as well who are being dragged through this. I mean, there doesn't seem to be any sort of talking about this.
No, that's why it does concern me, because, you see, I think, you know, dancing has probably evolved unconsciously, you know, that you're in a world and it's moving so fast that nobody has really stopped to think, oh, wait now, you know, what are we doing? Where are we going? Is this right? You know, are our children suffering? Because they do burn out. They're giving up dancing at 11 and 12. When really, you know, I feel they should be starting dancing at 11 and 12, you know, that it should be more of a balance, you know, that they're aspiring to something. You know, I mean, if you win a world championships under 12, you know, what do you aspire to by the time you're 18? You know, you have to maintain that pressure of that consistency to win the next World Championships and the next one and the next one, you know.
If you're a young kid who's entering one of these championships, I mean, what sort of stuff do you have to bring with you now? What is the standard almost in terms of, you know, outfits and then all the glamour which comes along with it? I mean, what are people spending their money on to get their kids decked out like?
Well, the main thing is to see you're buying probably for World Championships. You're looking at a new solo costume for, you know, every year. And I mean, then you're talking about, you know, 1,500 euros, 2,000 euros, whatever it's going to cost you. But along with that, then you have, you know, the wigs have become very prevalent, tanning, makeup, you know, your dance shoes, your socks, you know, and everything adds up. Like, it is very costly. And I am just so delighted I didn't have a daughter that I had to put through dancing, because I don't think I would have been able to do it. And then along with that, you have the travel, you have the whole expense of traveling. This year it's in Glasgow. No matter where it is, you know, it's accommodation, it's getting there. And then if you're in figure dancing, you have to have a class costume as well. So it is very, very expensive.
It wasn't always like this, was it, Cora, in terms of what people had to wear? Because, I mean, this is only a sort of a relatively new thing. Where is that coming from?
Well, you see, it still comes to me from evolution, because I was dancing in the late 60s and I danced in the first World Championship in 1970. And, you know, that was such a relaxed event, because we were in class costumes and they were they were very, you know, normal looking, and there was nothing elaborate about them. But then all of a sudden, you know, a year or two into that, somebody wore a solo costume, which we, you know, would be their own design, their own color. So then the following year, there was more solo costumes, the following year more. So as I'm saying, the whole dance style, the whole presentation of the dancer, you know, has just evolved, and it has been allowed evolved without, you know, thought or without kind of discussion. You know, it's just evolving.
People on this side of the world, we balk when we see the photos and the images coming from the United States about, you know, child beauty pageants. But in many ways, it's almost a little bit of the same thing, because some of our texters and tweeters are already getting in touch saying that, you know, kids are wearing fake tan and the makeup and the wigs involved in this. Is it the parents who are putting too much pressure on their kids there? Are they responsible for this, or where is that sort of, where is that all coming from?
We can take it that, you know, we can see it, because we see that there's always a percentage of parents involved in sport. I mean, football highlights it in videos, you know, that they probably lose slightly the run of themselves with the whole event. You know, teachers are kind of accredited to the winners they have, so they're under pressure. You know, so then you come to the organization, like, do they kind of put some structures in place to assist this? You know, is there a need to do that? And then when you talk about America and the beauty pageants, you see the North American influence is very much also in Irish dancing. Mm. So, you know, it's worldwide now. So, like, it's a combination of everything. And like, the dance style is not even recognizable to the dance that I'm doing. Or if you danced 10 years ago, you would find it very difficult to dance today, because it's evolving so quickly.
Okay.
Into the capabilities of the children. Yeah.
Cora Somerville, former member of the Irish Dancing Commission, thank you very much for taking our call on today's programme. Our reporter, Sarah Ruan, took to the streets of Dublin earlier on to ask the members of the public about this issue, if Irish dancing has gone too far.
I just think it's great. I don't see it as that. I just think it's... I love the dancing, so...
And
I
the hair and makeup and everything.
Oh, sure, it's all part of it.
Yeah, I suppose it has gone a little bit too far. It's all about an image more than actually watching the dancing, and they're being judged on that as well, which is a little bit inappropriate for young children. Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's whatever makes the kids happy, I suppose. I think it's making the parents happy too as well now at this stage. But it's escapism. Everybody needs a bit of that now and again. Bit of fun, never hurt anybody.
I wouldn't follow it a whole lot, to be honest with you. Possibly, yeah, because I know there's a lot of costs with dresses and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, probably going to be too far. Yeah, probably better to concentrate on the actual dancing ability more so than the looks.
Do you think it has still a special place in Irish culture, though?
I'd like to think so, yeah. I think every aspect of our culture is important, including Irish dancing.
I love it. I think it's brilliant. The tradition should still keep going.
I think tan's a bit much, is it not? Like, when I was younger, I remember just the ringlets. I don't think we wore makeup. I think kids should remain pure and remain as themselves as long as possible.
I don't think I expected ever to ask a discussion if Irish dancing has gone too far, but here we are, and some good points raised by people on the streets of Dublin earlier on. We're going to go back to our callers. Robin Connolly is an Irish Dancing Committee competitor. Robin, thanks very much for joining us on the show. Robin, just talk us through how you compete in this, and what your training regimen is like, and how much you have to spend to be able to take part in this.
So I train up to 3-4 times a week in a dance class, and then by choice train at home as much as I can. And I do all for big competitions, so they'll train and then go compete at the competitions. And we're dancing the world tomorrow. It's just 3 dances is all you have to dance. 3 dances, and like, you put all your work into them. But as far as the dresses and everything go, it's not so that you have to do it. You don't have to get the dress. You don't have to wear the tan. You don't have to put on the makeup. But it's like my choice to do it, and everyone else that, like, all of my friends that are involved, it's their choice. Like, it's not, it doesn't have to be that expensive. It's expensive, like, if you let it be. Like, you can go out with a gorgeous dress that didn't cost €2,000.
Would you win, though, if you didn't? If you didn't put all the time and the money into the aesthetic end of it, would you win the competition?
Oh, of course you could. Yeah, absolutely. If you could do very well with no... like, if you didn't have a €2,000 dress in you.
Mm.
But, as I said, personally, I like to get the dress. I like to put on the wig. I like to put on the makeup. All me, my choice. But I could win. Like, it is All About the Dancing at the World's Heritage, 29 judges, and it's a rotating panel, switching each round. It's very, very fair.
So this is your fourth year now competing at the Worlds, Robin. Has it changed in that time? Have you noticed a sort of a pickup in the intensity and sort of the level of pressure and the amount of kids who are participating from an earlier age?
Not so much. When I went to my first Worlds, it was in Canada, and going over it, there was no pressure on me at all. It was my first Worlds. I was to enjoy it. And to be honest, I don't feel pressure of anything. I come from a very, very positive dance skill, but positive support, and don't feel any pressure. Even I do well now, but I don't ever feel pressure to maintain that. If any pressure comes, it's from myself, because I want to do myself proud.
All right. Well, best of luck in the world as well, Robin. Thank you very much for taking our call on Lunchtime Live today. Plenty of you getting in touch on this issue. We're going to cross over to Barbara Blakely O'Brien in a moment. She's the chairperson of marketing for the Irish Dancing Commission. One of our texts: there is an 8-year-old near us who's not allowed out to play for a week if she doesn't win her dancing competition on a Sunday. Well, that sounds, again, like just the pressure which is being put on these kids from the parents. And that is, frankly, unhealthy, I think, regardless of what it is, whether it's Irish dancing or it's football or it's any other sport. Thanks for your text. I see the pictures of the dancers at the Irish Dancing Championships, and I balk at the frankly creepy, says our texter, glamorisation of young kids. Another texter: all sports train 3 to 4 times a week and have matches at the weekend. Hockey, football, GAA. Unfortunately, people don't see this as a sport. It's not about the image, it's their costume or their kit. One texter, Natasha, saying, my daughter, who is 11 today, has done ballroom and Latin dancing for a year now. The cost is massive and the expectations are very high. She doesn't have to wear makeup yet, but the 13-year-olds are caked in makeup and look unrecognisable. Natasha is actually joining us now on the line. Natasha, how are you doing?
Hi, not too bad.
Natasha, what do you think about this? Do you think there is too much pressure placed on kids of a very young age? Which I don't see how this can be a good thing, because if you're trying to defend it and saying it's the tradition, it isn't really the tradition which is behind this.
No, well, I suppose I'm coming from the side that's not the Irish dancing, it's the ballroom and Latin. So, but it's much more popular in Ireland now with the Dancing with the Stars and Strictly on in the UK. A lot more children taking part in that. And when you go to the competitions, it can be quite shocking. Our first one, I was quite shocked to see girls of 13 and 14, false tans, makeup, you know, eye makeup out to their ears almost, you know. Stunning dancers, and it's such a beautiful dance to watch any of those dances. But the cost is very high, and I think the pressure on the children is there as well, because sometimes beforehand you'll see some of them being coached, and you know, some of the coaches seem a little bit stern, shall we say, and you can see some of the kids are a little bit upset by it. Now, my daughter is kind of taking it in her stride, and there's no pressure put on her, but I'm just wondering, is that going to come to that point? Is she going to feel pressure?
I wonder, you know, hopefully
and
not.
I mean,
Natasha,
they are children. They are children at the end of the day. And I don't know if a 13-year-old needs to be caked in makeup. I mean, the adults, yes, if they choose that. But I feel the pressure now that if, when she gets to that stage, if she doesn't wear all that, she's just not going to do as well. I just feel, it's been said to me kind of, you know, by the way, you know, this is what they wear, you know.
Okay.
This is the way it goes.
This is the way that it is, and there's no changing it for now. Anyway, Natasha, thank you very much for your call. Another texter saying, the boys used to do it too and still do it, but they were asked to straighten their feet, because that's the impact that it does have. We have Joanne actually on the line, who's a podiatrist. She says she wouldn't let her kids dance. Joanne, why is that?
Oh, I let them dance around the kitchen, but dancing,
that's
dancing
the extent.
As an athlete, as these young people do, it of course has its consequences. I think possibly in Ireland we don't do a whole lot about treating things proactively, maybe as much as we should. You know, these guys need a physio input or a physical therapist input or whatever. They certainly need to be having a look at their joints. And the one problem that I come across a lot is a restriction at a joint in the foot called the first metatarsophalangeal joint. It's the joint behind the big toe. It's a really, really important joint, and with the amount of impact that it takes in Irish dancing, hard shoes and soft shoes, it tends to get limited, you know, quite considerably limited, to the point that if they can't get that motion within that joint, it's going to have to come from somewhere higher up within the chain, as we would say. So the knee, the hip, the lower back sometimes will compensate.
Yeah, I mean, the level of intensity at a young age does seem like something which could have an impact. I mean, are we being a little bit unfair here, though, Joanne, and just singling out Irish dancing? I mean, this is a level of intensity which we see in other sports as well, whether it's GAA or football as well. If you're sending young kids out while they're still very much growing and putting them through this rigorous process, it's only bound to have some impacts to some people, at least.
I know, this is it. I could tell if a person is a smoker by their pulses. I can tell by their feet and that particular joint if they play or have played football or have been an Irish dancer.
Mm.
And it's as simple as that. You know, the cartilage gets so much impact through football, maybe not so much with rugby, certainly Gaelic football and all the rest of it. You can tell with the amount of impact that joint becomes really restricted. And it's such an important joint for walking, which is the foot's main purpose in life. So I would be concerned that this is going to have lifelong consequences. And again, all of the people I have treated so far, and I'm not treating them for this issue, I'm just assessing and having a look and seeing whether it's there. If they have that problem, they're going to have issues and consequences later on in life. And that's kind of where my concern would be. And nobody that I've assessed as yet has been aware that problem is there.
Okay.
It's kind of invisible until later in life.
Yeah, and then that's where you see the impact of those problems seeping, I suppose. Thank you very much for your call, Joanne. Shane is also on the line. Shane, you think it's a bit too expensive for families now?
Hi, Richard. How are you doing? I just want to give you a parental point of view here.
Of course.
My daughter is in a group, and she just recently outgrown her dress. She's very anxious to keep going, very enthusiastic. But in order to take part in exhibitions and dances and so on, we have to purchase the next dress. And she doesn't compete nationally or internationally. The group are very good. Teacher's fantastic. Mm. But I just do think that the cost of the dress itself is unnecessarily expensive.
Mm. Yeah, how much are you spending for that?
The previous one cost €300, and the next one up is costing in the region of the same amount. Or I'm not exactly 100% sure of the figures, but it can cost up to 500.
Okay, so maybe if you're looking at the upper end of that, then €800 for two dresses for a kid just to take part in their sport. There must be positives as well, though, Shane. I mean, obviously, your kids out there and involved with friends and with a passion of theirs, clearly it's a good thing.
Yes, it's an excellent thing. The school is fantastic. The teachers are brilliant. You're right, she has made good friends. It is all positive. She plays football as well too, and again, I'm very positive about that. The cost is not comparable at all. She plays football 3 days a week, dances twice a week, and I'm very positive about the activities. It's just the cost, and I think it's unnecessary.
Mm. And what do you think, Shane, about the beauty element of it, the glamour and the hair and the makeup and the fake tan and all that sort of stuff? Do you think that's gone a bit too far? Is that something that you're seeing even at that level?
Yeah, I'm a teacher myself. I teach secondary school, and I think it's inappropriate, the makeup and the wigs. I don't think it's correct dress or appropriate dress for a child as young as 13. The standard is being upped all the time. I heard that lady spoke a while ago about the American influence. Mm. Well, I understand that, but if you just standardise what can be worn on the day, let the fake tan go ahead. That's not terribly expensive. Have an age limit for when it should be or can be used. And again, standardise the dress and do away with the wigs. I think it's unnecessarily expensive. Like, really, what should be measured at the competition is the competence of the dancer.
Isn't that what it's about, Shane? Yeah.
Well, for me it is, and I suppose my daughter's not competitive. I'm only interested in the activity that she gets out of and the friendship she makes and the discipline that she learns as well too. So she's got really, really good teachers, very positive, and the same teacher for quite a number of years. And I'm fully supportive of the school. I think it's terrific.
Okay. Well, Shane, thank you very much indeed for your call. Now, obviously, we've had some mixed views so far, but someone who probably has more positive views, or surely has more positive views on Irish dancing, is Barbara Blakely of the Irish Dancing Committee. Barbara, just about the glamour and the pressure of that, which some parents say they're facing to sort of provide for the wigs and the guna and all this sort of stuff for very young kids. Do you think the pressure is a bit much at this stage?
I think that with any type of activity, you have a wide range of situations. I think that there is a huge focus on the glitz and the glam and the look of the dancers when that's not always the focus here at the World Championships. The focus is really on the dancing and the skill and the community and the culture. And I think that sometimes gets lost when people make knee-jerk reactions to certain things that they see in the media.
Yeah, but I mean, this is something which, it's not about the media. This is what parents are telling us. And this is what which our callers have already told us as well, that they feel that they're being forced to pay out hundreds and hundreds of euro for dresses in this regard. If the pressure for the makeup and the wigs and all that sort of stuff isn't coming from the competition, where do you think it's coming from then, Barbara?
Well, as with many activities, I think that people follow trends. You know, if the world champion has a certain color of lipstick, everyone runs out to get it. And definitely as the art form has evolved, we have moved from, say, church halls and smaller venues to huge professional theaters with stage lighting. And that has really changed the requirements of what it takes to show up on stage, much as with a theater performer or a ballet dancer. Yeah. So in that respect, it has definitely evolved to more preparation and, you know, more makeup and the look is constantly changing. Now, that's not to say that everyone has to have this. We have dancers who dance in very simple, plain black costumes and have very elegant and beautiful styling, and they do just as well if the skill and the commitment and the practice is there.
Do they? I mean, do they win the competition if they're just there in simple things? I mean, if you look back to the tradition, as we were hearing earlier on, if you go back to the 60s and 70s, like our first caller was saying, there was none of this emphasis on it, but you don't see many people turning up in simple. Sunday best is basically what people, kids used to dance in. I mean, if they did that now, from what we're hearing, I don't think that's something which A, regularly happens, or B, would go down too well.
We have had dancers win major championships in very simple costumes. Again, that may not be what is shown to the public, but with anything, there's a wide range. From the Irish Dancing Commission's point of view, our focus is really on safety, the well-being of the children, their enjoyment. We cannot legislate for what people decide to purchase personally for costumes. If they want to go over and beyond and spend more money and have more bling, like, we cannot actually legislate.
Why not? Why can't you just say, here, look, let's, we have a uniform as you do for all sports. So if you're taking part in a football tournament or a hockey tournament or whatever else, you have very defined uniforms and what you wear is regulation, etc. Why not make it easy for as many people to get involved in one of our great traditions as possible by setting out a very simple uniform that everybody can afford, and then they can all get on with it and that's it?
Absolutely. And, you know, we have so many schools all around the world that offer beginner classes, non-competitive classes, performance-based troops that do wear very simple costumes.
Yeah, but why not do that at the Worlds? Why not do that and set the example that this is something about the dance, that it isn't becoming too much about the glamour and the pressure on it?
Well, at the top level of any competitive activity, you are going to have performers who want to dress in a way that matches their personality, their expression, that sets them apart from the crowd. The tradition of solo dresses is that each dancer gets to choose their own colors, their own Celtic knotwork. They may choose things that have to do with their family history. They might choose their favorite shape in a skirt.
All
it's about personal expression. We have 150 dancers in each competition, or more in some cases. And each person wants to appear as an individual and have their own personal style.
Okay. Barbara Blakely O'Brien, thank you very much indeed. Barbara is the chairperson of marketing in the Irish Dancing Commission. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on the show.